The Putative Egg, or The Length and Breadth of Italy. I learned from the minstrel the songs of the East that proclaim the supremacy of a certain beast. What its name, and where its dwelling, be it clean or evil-smelling, and has it ever been released to charm the maidens of the East? The minstrel knew not aught of this, and wandered the perimeter of the oblong town of Phis. Where is he now, and what does he do? Is he a Hindu or a Jew? Is he Mr. Sir or Miss? What young lass awaits his kiss? His songs of the beast made the townsmen take fright, for the beasts they were used to were camel and kite, and the sociable goats who go hello in the night. That they fear 'tis as right as the sinister, sinister kite. Oh, I'm certain the beast is supreme in the land, for its flavour is fine, be it fresh, be it canned. Is it here? Is it there? Oh, where is its lair? Is it arable, rodent, eland? How's its pituitary gland? The eligible elephant spoke of the day when its mate was unclothed by a gamma ray. X the spot, but what is not, where trunks were stoppered by a clot? Where's the cove and where's the bay? The minstrel leads us that away. Over hills and under mountains, by the portholes in the sky, by the anchors, by the anchorites, Ankara came we nigh. Where's the bird and where the beast, or the friendly goat at least? Where the lass he longs to kiss, will he hit or will he miss? Through the rhomboid burr of Dis, time will tell. Let's hope it will not lie. I knew a girl who ate no pears. That's 16 altogether, excuse the joke. She sang inveterate Abyssinian airs beside the Nile, where crocodiles are croak to lure unknowing lovers to their lairs, to know alluring lovers down in theirs. She was the mother of a lycanthrope, with feet of clay and brass head all the rage, who at the midnight hour would meekly mope and drink the hourglass, her thirst to assuage. With murderous intent she took a rope, though he was stoned, I'm sure that he could cope. But no, for lo, behold his shaking hand, his aluminium armpits, see them buckle. As the sable currents lash his ampersand, his enemies emit a sombre chuckle that rouses every creature in the land which destiny has grouped, or rather clanned. Thus kith and kin, they all come to her aid. That's lemon, lime, or orange, excuse the pun. They rescue her, this humble working maid who toiled her lifelong life by moon, by sun, and never servile wench her whims obeyed, nor gallery her canvases displayed. No dealer would her canvases unfurl, nor auctioneer deliver with a gavel. Thus spurned, her head was in a whirl, a lycanthrope no human could unravel. Especially she was a no-pair girl, if wit be gems and artificial pearls. The snow falls each morning at 6:35, shortly before the starlings arrive, and shortly before the starlings arrive, no man is alive to sing in the snowfall of the bread and the loaf, all the things that the baker brings just before 8, and leaves in the dustbin in front of the gate. Those leaves in the dustbin in front of the gate are teeming with life. Pray sharpen your knife, for the dangers are great. The children go out at 9:15 as the starlings sunbathe on the railway line, and sunbathing there on the railway line the carriages glide, and marriage is mied in heaven to shine. At 9:40 housewives chop off their heads and pour pink petrol in everyone's beds, and pouring pink petrol in everyone's beds the mob is inflamed, the mobile is framed, their houses are sheds. And late in the evening the husbands return, shortly before the thunderclouds burn, and shortly before the thunderclouds burn the starlings withdraw by tooth and by claw. And all men will learn that midnight, the moment, is master of man, when the night is as still as the day that began, and the night is as still as the day that began when the hourglass ran, and it lay in my hand still as it came to a standstill. I saw 10 children every afternoon. They huddled in the waiting room outside until the rising of the gibbous moon, until the ebbing of the mystic tide. And on their faces awful fear was writ. They crawled into my study one by one. Their hands were lacerated by the grit which lay on every landing by the ton. And when at last they all knelt by my feet, all hypnotized by Job, the parakeet that sits in solemn silence in his cage, his tonsure turning indigo with rage, I thought of the unspeakable elite whose reputation nobody can gauge unless discreet. The register no longer holds my name, the catalogue no longer my address. For striking gold my name is stricken off, the archives thus are marginally the less. The blow is less the stipend than the shame that earned me only momentary fame. For liking home my life was stricken off, and less and less. I paid the county council for my rooms. The count's ill, but the earl is feeling better. The parakeet's my locum. Large he looms, he spurns the children's infantile vendetta. Tell me, would you like a cup of cocoa? Shall we sail the Amazon or Orinoco? Je dis merci, merci, merci beaucoup. So as the sun sank slowly in the east, we cried aloud. We wailed and wept and gnashed our teeth. We were a sorry crowd that shivered by the playing field till the rising of Orion, and droned the dreary anthem, "Thou who bringst tide goods to Zion." We watched the thudding footballers who frolicked in the dark. We spied the oaks who bow and bend and bowl and branch and bark. But all for nothing, since, alas, our hopes were shattered when the scrum scrummed down, the forwards flew, and Buddha turned to Zen. Meanwhile a cricket match was played to shrive the heretic. With currant buns for cricket balls the fielders all felt sick, and brandy snaps for cricket bats less durable than most. The wicket was of celery, the groundsman was of toast. Elsewhere a furtive tennis match with rackets of meringue, with combatants from Elsinore and faraway Cadiz, where the golden elephant and the silver leopard is, delivering each service with a terrible harangue. There is a land where every game is very like a meal, where lacrosse players hit lamb chops, and darts is played with veal, and chess is played with vegetables upon a smorgasbord. The room is flooded with white sauce when any points are scored. And if a player cheats, he'll find he's fast engulfed in custard. The salt and pepper soldiers stand in fearsome phalanx mustard, ready to attack straightway the barley sugar bishop. The condiment contingent wail a solemn plaintive wish, a plea to leave the lamp aside, for fear they should go blind. For if sight is in the eye, who dares say madness in the mind? And in this land a music man is seldom given leave to crush a four-leaf clover, or to split a four-loaf cleave. This land is where the sky is green and blood is seldom red, and Zion's eye on you and I, on aerophiles withal, will feed our minds with fantasies, for sleep is but a wall, a fence so dense, a brick so thick, that we, once lively, once deemed quick, will slumber on in sluggishness as if our life had fled. I listened to your vibraphone with nothing but alarm. But my youngest daughter's perianth was enviably calm. May your melody forever soothe my offspring's epidermis, but my hit is to my miss as her foolish hit to her miss. Now it was the schooner Hesperus that sailed the wintry sea from Italy to Italy, thence to furthest Italy, where bitumen tastes bitterly, latterly. Repeat the assassination when I've counted up to 8, for if you wait till 17 it will be much too late, and if you wait till 31 the police will all arrive. That's a situation to prevent which we must strive. But hail to thee, blithe spirit! Dicky bird thou never wert, for the nest was left unguarded, and the weasel was alert, whom vitamins avert.
Abort!
Abominate the thief of time, for clandestine he creeps, and in his clock-filled haversack his timely harvest reaps, with pendulums about him, and his body swathed in springs, firmly fixed, for time flies by on amethystine wings. And tell me now, shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely, I would say, than April or than May, whose pitch is in my pay, my fee. O Tarmacadam, mar no more my path, for I, of all the children in the world, I like the hottest bath.